Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening. Welcome
back. Oh, it's a whale of a tale and it's something, something.
Yes, yeah, we can tell how many times she's seen that this movie. Next, we got Pete. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hey there. I usually have a joke, but I wanted to point out that I've had an Easter egg for this movie right over my shoulder all these years.
Ah.
This is a poster for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The ride. The ride.
Yeah. And Steve, how you doing tonight? You're on spring break, aren't you?
No, that was last week. I'm back in the trenches.
I'm so sorry. Guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. We got some new stuff coming on Disney Plus that we're going to look at. So just make sure you don't want to miss any of it. But this week, we decided to go back into the vault to a show I couldn't actually believe we hadn't done yet. And the show is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Features Kirk Douglas, Peter Lorre is basically the other person you would really, really know from this. And they are whalers. It's set in the late 1800s. And they are whalers. And there is a monster out there that actually turns out to be Captain Nemo's ship. And he doesn't even have a bad fin. So, and it's not even like yellow. It's not the bright yellow from Disneyland either. But he has been, the ship has been attacking merchant ships and whaling ships and sinking them with no warnings whatsoever. Well, and they get, the ship gets attacked and the Kirk Douglas character, who is a harpooner on a whaling ship, and the doctor, who is a scientist from Paris who's wanting to go research stuff, and Peter Lorre, his assistant, which why he's always the assistant? The man needs a feature film. Did he ever do a feature film? Pete, do you know?
You mean that he was the lead in?
Correct.
I guess M would count. He was a serial killer.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, he was mostly sidekicky.
Yeah. I mean, he made a living at it. So anyway, and they come to find out that this ship is being run by a captain named Nemo. And he has decided to, he does everything. He gets everything at sea, including some very interesting food that if you're actually trying to eat, don't listen to it that closely as far as what the different things are. But his big thing is he wants to stop the governments of the world. They never actually name any government in particular because they're flying under no flag, which was Disney not wanting to, you know, burn any bridges for potential box office. But he is sick and tired of governments attacking other people using explosives and bombs and such. So he keeps killing and attacking the ships that are carrying any kind of munitions. And he justifies this because he's, by killing 100 people, he's saving thousands of people. Well, he also doesn't really like the Kirk Douglas character around. So they have an adversarial thing. Kirk Douglas just keeps wanting to escape, wanting to escape, wanting to escape. Nemo essentially would be happy if he was dead. He tries to call him at the beginning, but he essentially saw that the doctor was so loyal to them that he was willing to spare their lives. But they get into some trouble. There are natives that show up and come aboard the ship and are repelled by the electrified shell of it, which how it doesn't electrify them in the water, we're not supposed to ask. And then he goes,
this is not good.
Huh? Okay. Sure. But then he goes to the island of Volcania, which is his own island. And he, I think Pete's having some technical difficulties. And he's having, they know where he is because the Kirk Douglas character has thrown messages into bottles. And they found them somehow very, very quickly. Very quickly. But to make a long story short, I know Kate's going to say too late. he decides to blow up his own island because he doesn't want other people to get there because the the warships have shown up. And he is shot in the process and he decides to go down and they're going to scuttle the ship, but they end up, the Kirk Douglas and the Peter Lorre and the Doctor character end up escaping and going back to their own places, I'm guessing, but without any of Nemo's technology because the world's not ready for it. So that was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. What from this was a whale of a tale? What worked for this movie? And Kate, I'm going to make you go first.
So we've watched a few movies within the last few months that have been set in this general time period, right? And I have a piece of hair in my mouth. And I am a big fan of like It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas, movies that also came from this time period. And I just think it's funny that it seems like all of the men speak the same. They all have this, well, gosh, mister. Like, oh, what was the one thing? Well, now hang on there. Like, they have this, like, very,
folksy.
Say it again?
Folksy.
Maybe folksy is the word, but it's just this cadence that is very, it comes out in movies from this time period. It happened when we watched the ghost one. The one about the creepy
Ghost of Mr. Chicken?
No, the one about the one that Pete, or not Pete, the one that Steve recommended.
Oh, the place with the haunted carnival.
With the haunted carnival.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
They talked like it in this movie too. And so that just made me giggle right off the bat when they're like, hey, everybody, step right up and da 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 da. And like these girls are fawning over Ned. And it's just so silly.
Who, other than the seal, are the only girls in the movie?
And like one of them, I could hear her in my head being like, mutual, I'm sure. Like just ridiculous. I enjoyed Ned's character. I loved the song, The Whale of a Tale. Ned's character was probably the only one that like made me laugh out loud.
And Ned was the Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, which I just, because I was like, Kirk Douglas, like that sounds, I didn't realize he was Michael Douglas's dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Michael Douglas's dad.
This is true.
Which I didn't know that. I thought that was so interesting. So, and Michael Douglas is in one of my favorite movies, The American President. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Ned's. I don't want to keep going because I don't want to take anybody else's, but I love the Whale of a Tale song that had like, it just made me giggle. And, I just really enjoyed, of all the characters, I enjoyed Ned's character the most. So
interestingly, the last verse in the movie is not the last verse in the song on the record.
Question. Have any of you read the book, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
I tried, but no.
Is it a tough read?
Jules Verne. It's a tough read.
Okay. I was just curious. I have not as well, but
I think I might have done the Great Illustrated Classics version at one point, but
Steve, go ahead.
I'm sort of like you. I think knowing where this movie, which Eric came from, it was for me an enjoyable, just overall, this great like adventure-esque thing. It kept me engaged and stuff. So I think like walking in knowing it's a movie from the 50s, those big productions where back then, movies were like 2 hours and they were a big sort of production thing. I really enjoyed that. I think I have heard so many things about the squid that this is actually the first time I ever saw the movie. And it's like, I could see why. I think back to my like 10-year-old self of seeing this, where I'd totally be engaged. It has everything. Explosions, fighting, adventure. So I think overall, the story, yeah, there was issues, but it was engaging, it was interesting, and I enjoyed it.
Pete?
Yeah, I disappeared for a bit, but I am back. there was a lot that I liked about this movie. I'm going to mention, because I know Derek said earlier that Kirk Douglas and Peter Lorre were the only stars, but really James Mason was a pretty big star back in the 50s and 60s. He was, Kate mentioned one of her favorite movies. He was in one of my favorite movies, North by Northwest. He was the bad guy. And he was also one of the creepiest humans alive in Lolita. But I thought he was very good in this as well. It's an interesting character, because at no point does he play the character sympathetically, but you still have a little bit of sympathy for him, I think. I mean, he's clearly the bad guy, and but you still like kind of
understand it because he's doing it to avenge his wife and son's torture and death.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So, but you know, it's one of those things that the methods don't match the response or whatever. The other thing is the set, both internal and external, for the submarine, the Nautilus, is iconic. The shape of the especially the outside shape of the ship, whoever did that production design, it is just like so like both like steel behemoth yet still like shaped like a fish almost, or a whale or something like that. It just very impressive stuff on that. So I think and there's a very most of the movie is set on the submarine, on and around the submarine. So there's not a lot of variety, but they do a good job of keeping it visually entertaining, I think. So.
Yeah, and I think, you guys mentioned the squid, just that whole fight scene, and to remember this was done in 1954, when, trust me, there was some not great stuff, fight scenes with snakes done in, the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
But to have that go on, and then keep in mind, they took that and it became an opening day attraction at Disneyland, walking through the sets of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Was it actually in Tomorrowland, because they needed to fill a building?
Yeah.
I like the squid. There was some genuine humor in this. There were some times I chuckled. Now there were some times I rolled my eyes at the sea lion was fun. I never got tired of when the sea lion was on screen, because they didn't overdo it. I don't know about completely engaging, but I enjoyed watching this. This is not one of those where I was flipping through constantly, how much time do I have left? So I don't know if that's, and I had never seen this before.
That surprises me.
No, it's just one that had never come up for me to watch. So
was I the only one that had seen it before?
I think probably. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
That really surprises me, Derek, that like, because I feel like this falls very much in the same vein of Swiss Family Robinson.
It does, but we didn't have this when I was growing up, like on VHS. We had Swiss Family Robinson on VHS that we had taped off of TV at some point. So
we all did
when Disney actually used to, play their movies with no commercials. But yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Do you think you would have liked it as a kid?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Yeah. So, okay. So if that's what we really enjoyed about it, okay. What about this sank? What did not work for you? And Kate, I'm going to have you go last because apparently you have a list.
No, there's really just one. I really just have one.
Okay. So, and we're not, and this is not a conversation about what aged well or what didn't. That is coming up. So it's just what other than stuff that may not have aged well, what did not work for you for this movie? Steve, I'll let you start.
I did some research today, and I think this explains why. I think overall, it felt like sort of choppy. And then I read that the original story was sort of episodic.
Very.
So it was done in that way. And I think that came across in the movie. There was, like, I really like it. There was this scene, and they just felt sort of jumpy at times where, oh, okay, now you're here. So I think that was probably my biggest issue. One other one was I felt like the professor, who's sort of the narrator, is not really the main character of the story. He's sort of guiding things. Like, I don't know who I'd put as the main characters. Probably definitely Captain Nemo, but I felt like you have all these characters and this one person's not really doing anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Pete. Yeah,
that's true. I didn't think about that, but like he's technically probably the main, I don't know, it's hard to say. Kirk Douglas is maybe the main protagonist, but yeah, I agree. The professor there, he's sort of supposed to be the center of the story, but he doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
No. So my biggest complaint about this movie, and it wasn't quite as bad this time watching it, it's kind of boring for the first...
Until they get to the submarine.
Yeah, well, certainly until they get to the submarine, but even when they first get on the submarine, I would almost say until they
go harvesting.
Until they land on the beach and Ned goes off to okay. Johnny Depp for a bit. I think like then forward it moves at a good pace, but up to that point it's rather slow to me, which is maybe a sign of the time of the movie, but just it's just not it's slow. That's all I'll say.
It's slow, and at just a hair over 2 hours, it's too long. They could have cut 20 minutes from the first hour and been fine.
Yeah.
The thing that bugged me, honestly, was, okay, I got to save that one because it's part of the does it wage well or not. Some of the underwater, when you're watching them walk along, it's the, okay, I get it. It's hard to walk in water.
Yeah.
That it just, there was a little much of that. And you said, who's the protagonist? It's almost hard to make, I mean, you can make Nemo the antagonist in this. But at the same time, okay, is he the antagonist? Is the squid the antagonist? Okay, you went to Johnny Depp with the natives running after him. I went Indiana Jones with the natives running after.
And I have a comment. Okay, since you brought that up, I'm going to bring up my comment. The food eating scene reminded me of Temple of the Doom.
Yeah.
That's fair. So,
right? Like, how can you gross out the audience as much as possible?
Sperm whale milk.
So gross.
Milk. And how you milk it. I'm just... Anyway.
That's more disturbing.
Because they do truly make milk because they're mammals. But Anyway. So for me, the biggest thing was just, like Pete, it was slow. And look, I'm always saying movies could cut some, but I don't think I'm going to get any argument that this movie could have cut about 20 minutes from its first hour and been just fine.
Yes.
So, Kate, what was your biggest complaint?
You took mine. It was so long. It was so long. And I it really didn't hold my attention well. In fact, when the three guys end up going diving and then they like find the treasure chest and all this stuff, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna
have Little Mermaid vibes off of that.
Kind of, but like I ended up just like clicking like 5 to 10 second increments because I was like, there's no dialogue here. They're not really doing or saying anything. I know they're in the water. And it's like a 5-minute segment of them just in the water. And
I feel like movies from that time, because you see that a lot and especially in the 60s, like long drown out underwater diving sequences. And I always think maybe people back then never saw underwater sequences. So like it was impressive enough
that,
you know, you went, they're underwater. This is pretty cool. And nowadays it's just not impressive enough to hold attention.
Right. I had to like remind myself that this was probably a really cool, really big deal in 1950 something when it came out. Like this was probably a really, really groundbreaking movie. And so I kind of had to keep reminding myself of that, of like, I bet in that time period, this movie was really cool and that people really loved it, kind of exactly what you were just saying. I had another one. I had another one. Okay. I'll think of it. It'll come back to me.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so movie from 1954. We always ask on these, did these live action movies age well? I'm going to say for the most part, it was okay. There were two specific things that really bothered me, so I'm going to go first. The first is when Nemo was showing the professor around, they were walking on the coral. And coral doesn't grow back very fast at all. And I'm going, stay off the, because that was probably actual coral that they were filming in. You know, it could have been a set in a Disney tank. Who knows? I haven't looked that part up. The other part was them two guys hauling those turtles along underwater.
Because
the turtles were alive. And so it's turtles have to breathe air. And so, I didn't know if those were like turtles that they just, I got the feeling it was like turtles that were just wild captured that they decided to drag along for this movie. So who knows how many others they had in the pen in the back. However, did anyone else want to take just that net full of rock lobsters and just take it home with them, by the way? That would have been so tasty. But my biggest issue, the thing for me that did not age the best was the whole, when this in the underwater scenes when they're walking on the coral and then just them hauling along those turtles. And I'm going, no. So, Kate, did this or did this not really age well for you?
There wasn't anything that, and I will say, like, this movie, it did not hold my attention well. I gave it the best college try that I could, but I'm sure that I missed things that could be problematic. Nothing like screamed like, this is super, super racist or this is super, super sexist, like some of the shows that we've watched.
That's fair.
To me, this was just a boy adventure movie. And if you've seen a boy adventure movie, you've seen all boy adventure movies. There was it. And not to like, because I love some good boy adventure movies, but there wasn't anything to me that was like, oh, this movie should have a warning before it. There wasn't. And maybe I just missed it. But that
was one. Yeah.
That I just didn't feel like, because was it Swiss Family Robinson that had a warning before it?
Very likely, and probably should have.
And Peter Pan.
Oh, Peter Pan. I mean, definitely Peter Pan.
Yeah, this didn't have anything. But again, I don't know if I missed it. Steve, did you catch anything?
The scene with the natives was on that like borderline.
At least on like West Side Story, they actually used people who that was their skin color.
That is true. But I mean, it was like, I'm like questioning, like, again, you have to look, it's the movies from the 50s
and how they view things at the time.
Well, and interpreting the 1800s. I mean, it was there. It was just right on the edge for me of, are you doing it in the most respective way? Right.
Well, Yeah, yeah. The thought that occurred to me was like, oh, this is probably the only role these actors can get in movies in the 50s.
Yes, right.
Being, you know, natives going, hoo, which is sad. but I think the actual presentation in the movie itself wasn't too bad.
I don't think it was any worse than Pirates of the Caribbean.
No. But speaking of Ned, I did read that they put that song in because he wanted more and he wanted the ladies to come and join him. So he had to appear like a ladies' man. Kirk Douglas.
Song.
The beginning, the whale of a song or whatever.
Really? Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, because he wanted more action and he wanted to still appear as a ladies' man because of his role.
Kirk Douglas, yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. So fascinating.
What's your thoughts on this?
So it's hard to be sexist when you don't have any women.
True.
It's easy to not be sexist when you
two arm candies and a sea lion.
And a sea lion, yeah. Yeah,
he wasn't sexy. I'm sure.
They didn't actually even say that.
No, they didn't, but she looked like she was thinking it.
I would say the same things that Steve said. I mean, the natives were on the edge. The sea turtle thing, I was like, oh no, they're going to eat sea turtles. This isn't what I want to see. You know, that I thought, that moment that you were showing, and I didn't even think about that they were holding them underwater.
Eating the sea turtles. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that, you know, the implication of eating the, you know, what we now know as endangered species is probably the poorest application in the movie. But overall, no, I didn't think it was. I said the thing to me that aged the worst was probably just the pacing, which it's just of its time. Movies yeah. didn't learn to pace like they do today until, you know, the 80s and 90s. So it's.
And even then, some of them have issues.
Yeah. So let's quick question here. 1954. Can you guess where in the box office list this movie fell?
I know.
I don't know. Hold on. I want to guess. 1954. I'm going to say it was third.
Nope.
Oh, Kate got it. At least the list I see.
I saw. Sex.
I heard it was like one, two, a bounce back and forth. It did this weird.
Except what were the top three?
What was number one?
Number one, according to this list, anyways, and it's on Wikipedia, White Christmas.
Yes, I knew that one.
A great freaking movie.
But
great
I've movie. Seen this one as second.
And King Mutiny is listed as second in this list.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it's a Lifetime versus In the Year, maybe. Lifetime, this made more money than King Mutiny. Just because of the re-releases.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Pete and Steve. I know Kate's too young, but do you guys remember the 20,000 Leagues attraction at Disney World?
No, because I never made it that far when I was a kid. I remember hearing about it.
I did ride it, and it was like probably the most, when I was a kid, or like my memories of Disney World, because I was really young, I have like the best memories of that attraction. That and the Tiki Birds were like my two favorite things. Just, I remember as a kid going on that ride, and they would like blow bubbles up to make the ship seem like it's diving. The one in California still does the same thing. And like, as a kid, I was like, this is, I was thinking like, this is amazing. I knew we weren't going, you know,
super deep, yeah.
Super deep or anything, but I thought we were going down under the water because they'd take you in a show building, it'd be dark and everything. You'd be like, wow, this is amazing. So I agree, I do remember.
I did the Disneyland one, and I was like the same way. I saw it when I was 10 years old and still thinking that we're actually going down. So,
yeah. Now, the trick on it was the incredibly steep steps.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to sit, you sat like, how a normal person would sit, like on your desk to your computer screen, is how far you sat away from the window, and you had to lean in watch the window. And luckily, they had like little fans blowing, so Now,
yeah, because otherwise you'd fog water. You'd fog the glass.
Yeah, true. Because the water was colder. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So, but yeah, they you know, surprisingly, they have the ride sort of still in California. It is Nemo. It is Nemo, but not this Nemo themed.
No, wrong Nemo theme.
And I said this, I think, backstage last week. I was like, it was probably only 5 years ago I found out that the California one was not themed to 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Nope. It was just called Submarine Voyage or something.
It was
cracked. It's
based on the, like, one of the, like, some of the original nuclear subs going under the Arctic ice caps.
But yeah.
Tokyo Disneyland has a ride, though. So.
Yeah. And, Disneyland Paris has a walkthrough attraction where you go into the Nautilus and walk through, and it is decorated, I'll say, similar to the movie. The thing I remember most is the same as there's a big viewport, just like in this movie. And so it is kind of designed. I mean, the organ's there, but you can't play it or anything. Yeah.
And the organ's at Disneyland.
Kate, do you know where at Disneyland the original organ from this is?
My guess would be Haunted Mansion, because that's the only place that I know where an organ is. But I remember riding this when I went to Disneyland, the only time I've ever been to Disneyland, in 2011. But would it have been still 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea at that point? It wasn't Nemo at that point, right?
It was Nemo.
Yeah.
In 2011.
I remember having to, like, kind of being like, this is it, and not really knowing what we were doing, but yeah.
So
yeah, it's less impressive as an adult, I would say, than it is when you're a kid.
Yeah. Okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for every movie we watch. Kate, for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, what is your pixie dust rating that's wrong?
I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Ouch.
Yeah, it just didn't hold my attention. Steve?
I'm giving it a 3. I enjoyed it. I won't watch it every time, but I could see watching it again in a few years. Pete?
Yep, I'm with Steve. That's the same number. I'm going to give it a 3. It's enough that I would, you know, recommend people to check it out and maybe occasionally watch it, you know, another 5 to 10 years. Won't be on heavy rotation or anything, but what about you, Derek?
Confirming that it's a boy movie, I'm going with a 3 also. So it's either a boy movie or an old person's movie. So
let's go with the boy movie.
Let's go the boy movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it is most definitely a boy movie, though.
Yeah.
Like there's very little appeal to, like, thinking back to the time,
little girls,
right? Yeah, I mean, even you know, as you mentioned, Swiss Family Robinson, that had some female characters in it. I wouldn't say it was directed at women per se, but at least there was that representation.
Yeah, and there were other representations in it as well, but we're not going there.
Yikes!
Yeah. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We got a lot for Disney Plus news. First and foremost, the premiere of The Devil Wears Prada 2 will be broadcast live on April 20th on Disney Plus. This will be the red carpet portion and interviews, not the actual movie. That's interesting. Well, there won't be the actual movie.
No, but why? Why wouldn't it release?
It's on the theaters.
Yeah.
That's fair. Next up, Disney Plus is developing Cars Lightning Racers for the service. This animated show will target younger children, having the same target audience as Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or Bluey.
Speaking of, you know, boy movies, I think this is kind of counter-programming to, like, some of the, like, the Sophia the Princess and those kind of movies.
Sophia the First. Yes. Next up, Malcolm in the Middle, Life's Still Unfair, has become Disney Plus's most watched premiere so far of 2026. The 4-episode series features most of the original cast from the TV show. I haven't watched it. Have any of you watched it?
I never watched Malcolm in the Middle, though. So
yeah, I didn't really either.
I watched Malcolm in the Middle the first few seasons, and I it it was very funny show, but it was kind of a mean show too. So as I've gotten older, I've been less interested in mean shows.
That's fair.
That is very fair. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And last but not least, a trailer has been released for The Punisher, One Last Kill, which is coming to Disney Plus on May 12th. The Punisher will also be in the newest Spider-Man movie. That will be very interesting, how they are going to blend the innocence of Peter Parker.
Maybe he's not killing anymore. If this is One Last Kill.
So
maybe
it's got to be a toned down Punisher.
All
the Punisher has as a character is that he kills people. Quite honestly, he's not a very interesting character.
It's a tough. But Pete, did we decide that this last season? I haven't watched Daredevil yet. We're going to watch it. Did we decide that this last season of Daredevil was worse than the Punisher? Was gross.
I never saw the Punisher series, so I think you said it wasn't as bad as that, but it was this season was pretty bad.
I just couldn't remember. I still haven't watched. I need to watch it. We'll do. How many episodes of Daredevil are out now?
There's 4 out so far.
Okay. Pete and I will have to do a recap here in the next few weeks. And that's it for the Disney Plus news.
Okay. Well, next week we are actually going to be jumping into the documentary world again. Sorry, Kate.
I love documentaries.
But this one is called Ghost Elephants. It is about what is teased as a hidden group of elephants in a back area of Africa. It's Rotten Tomatoes 100%, and it's 7 out of 10 on IMDb. So I'm encouraged by that. And it's been out for a while. So it's one of those, because I've looked at several nature things recently that I have said nope to, but this one actually looks interesting to me. So that's going to be next week. But if you have suggestions on what we should watch, we need show suggestions, especially for this coming summer, because I can keep picking shows, but if there's stuff you want to make sure we see, let us know. Send me an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, wherever. We have new shows most Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Steve, and Pete, Gina, we miss you. We can't wait. We have you back, and we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.